This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number 2 already. All right, let's go check in with Captain Mike Jeffcoat. Good morning, Mike. What's up?
Not much. You must have went to the rodeo last night, huh?
Me? No, I wasn't at the rodeo.
Well, yeah, I was just playing Journey, wasn't you?
Well, he did. Journey came up, but I think the lights went out or something. I heard there was power outage at the rodeo last night.
I had watched no news or anything. I saw a few deals already.
Scrolling through Facebook, there was people commenting on it, but
ain't no telling what goes on with that rodeo.
No, there's not. Well, I don't go anymore. I have bad hours now.
Me too. It
limits me to. There's a lot of stuff I can't do anymore when it comes to late.
Well, there's just too much going on down there. Rusty has to go every day, and
I bet he loves that traffic.
Yeah. One of his best friends has got one of them wagons in the Grand Entry. And,
oh, cool.
Yeah, and he has to go help him and do all that fun stuff. But he said he don't understand the crowds. He said it's just, you get all this information about spring break kids are going to the Houston Rodeo this week, and I'm going, no, they're not. They ain't got nothing to do with that.
They're on a beach somewhere getting drunk.
Yeah, they're not walking around on concrete at Houston Road.
No, and then getting sand on their feet and salt water in their gills. And a lot of tonic water to go with it.
Yep. I can imagine Bolivar what it probably looks like. Now they've got the Jeep deal coming up.
Boy, Jeep weekend. Man, oh, man, oh, man.
You see where the sheriff's department's asking homeowners down there to let them stay in their beach houses that weekend so they could be on the spot instead of having to react up down at the beach. They want to stage them.
Galveston County's got plenty of money. The taxes they charge, they can
no kidding.
They can build them complex over there. That's where they make big money off of these high school kids and, for all the PIs and jail time, impounding cars. I mean, it's just crazy. That's been going on for years and years.
It's always been that way, though. Because I got a book about Bolivar Peninsula that could just amaze you if you was to read it. I mean, it goes way back.
Right.
The history of it. It's like Rollover Pass was just a wash through. Back in the days.
Yeah, it was a low spot. That's why they call it rollover, because they rolled rum barrels across there to the bay.
Exactly.
So they wouldn't have to pay tariffs.
That's in that
book. Bootlegging, man.
Bootlegging. Oh, and High Island? Oh, my God. That was like mini Las Vegas.
Yep. Old high spot out there in the marsh.
Yep.
And everybody in High Island got high.
But no, I can't tell you anything about fishing. I know Venice has been blowed out pretty much all week.
just about
been blowed out of
it.
Yes, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've been doing a bunch of yard work. It finally got dry enough to do something, and trying to get all them dead limbs, some of them dead trees down and stuff. We'll give it one more day today, and trying to burn all that mess. That wind got a little high on me yesterday, but finally got it all under control.
Yeah, you're ahead of the game on me. That's a fact. I got one with my biggest pecan tree. It's got three giant limbs broke over. They're still connected. They'll probably end up budding out. But you know, from Hurricane Beryl.
Yep, and, that's what I'm cleaning up.
And they're so I can't reach them with a pole saw or anything, and just you know, I end up having to hire somebody to climb up in there and cut them out.
Yep. But no, I was out there working yesterday morning before that wind got up. Man, them red birds was just
isn't it nice doing their right thing. Now with all these birds coming back through?
Yep, and. I said, man, I ought to be on a lake somewhere trying to catch perch. But I ain't heard no real reports. So like one thing, you know, it's like Lake Houston already should have fired off, but it's just been too much runoff at lakes.
Well, and plus cold. It's so low. It's like 18 inches low right now, and that's low for Lake Houston.
Really?
I
wonder why.
I don't know. They're doing work on the dam, and plus they're doing all them dredging projects, and it's a mess. And I was talking to John Littleton yesterday morning, and he's just so frustrated because all the spawning areas that they normally fish this time of year for black bass, they're dry.
That's wild. So why are they dredging again? They think they're going to...
I have no
make the
idea.
Flooding less. They're going to make the flooding less because they're going to dredge deeper water. It don't make no difference how deep it is.
I don't know what it's all about. I just don't know.
Well, I understood that first phase they done of it because there were so many shallow spots you couldn't even get up them rivers. But like Lucy's Bow and all that area in there, that needed dredging. But, you know, the big deal that I heard floating around was, you know, they're trying to make it deeper so it don't flood and all that. And I don't know what school y'all went to, but I mean, I don't care how deep it is.
A flood's a flood, no matter how deep a channel you put somewhere. It's, you know, it's always full of water.
So it's just like in white bass. I'm sure they're having a terrible spawn because of, you know, we just can't quit getting them little old storms come through and keeping them rivers muddy. So I know the East Fork. I mean, I cross it Cleveland every day, and it's a muddo. So the white bass probably having a tough time right now. So, but hey, did you hear any more about that new state record bass?
No.
I don't know if that was
about the first time.
There was one going around last week, 1897 off of...
Holy moly.
Yeah, somewhere up there, like Ivy or up in that area where them big fish are, but I ain't heard nobody. And it was a young boy that caught it, the pictures I saw. But like I said, you don't know
it
what...
It might have been a junior angler state record or something.
Well, maybe. 1897 would be the record.
Well, that would be, you know, all the way.
So... But I ain't seen no more or heard no more about it, so evidently it ain't true. That's how social media will get you.
Yeah, it will.
But other than that, that's about all I got. I mean, you know, boys in Venice, what days they're fishing, you know, chasing mullet on the beach and catching redfish.
So far, you know, that 1818 is still the one.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you never know.
That was, Lake Fork, wasn't it? Guy named Barry something.
I think so, but I'm telling you now that there's some of them lakes up there that's putting out them big fish. They're going to break that record. sooner or later that's going to happen.
White OH Ivy's been a hot one the last three or four years, man.
Unbelievable.
Like clockwork.
You know, and you know, it ain't like back in the day.
Barry St. Clair of Athens.
Yeah.
He's the one that holds the state record bass, 18-18. Caught in 1992.
Wow, that's been a while, ain't it?
Been a long time.
Didn't even realize Park was that old.
Well, records are made to be broken.
Yeah, they are. Exactly right. But, you know, the way it is now, you know, them fish get released. They don't go in the skillet. You know, back in the day, I don't care how big he was, he got to eat.
He coming home, baby.
He coming home. My daddy.
We bringing that baby home. We're going to drag the scales off of it, showing it off.
Yep. My daddy, he'd take his knife, get him, take his gills out of him, throw him in the ice chest. He'd come to the house.
I promise you.
Yep. So, but I did hear that red ear that was caught in, I think, Arizona, is a new world record.
Yeah, I saw that one. I saw that picture.
That's unbelievable.
Can you believe
that's unreal.
It didn't even look normal.
I'd have given anything to got that fish. But I'd have put him in the skillet too. I'd have got me a replica mount and I'd have eat that big rascal. I fed the whole family with him.
You know, a thing that helps too with these bass getting so big, they live anywhere from 10 to 23 years. You know,
yeah,
the oldest recorded lifespan of a black bass, you know, largemouth, is 23 years. That's why they get so big. I wish a trout would live that long. Well, around here, there nothing can live much more than 2 years, or he gets in somebody's skillet. But you know,
what is the life of a trout?
Seven to ten years. Kind of like
seven
a white-tailed deer. Now, right. Redfish can go up to 60 years.
Yeah, no kidding.
And live forever. Outlive us.
We had a biologist down there one time. He was going around with checking all of us during when we were really standing on them Bull Ridge, you know, in the summertime, late summer. And he come to my boat, and we caught one that's about 45 inches. He said that fish is probably 50 years old.
Oh, yeah.
I went, really? He said, exactly. He said, I could, you know, we could kill him and take his,
out.
Yeah. He said, I could tell you exactly how old he is. He said, but
count
he's probably
the rings
50.
On that otolith just like a tree. Yep.
You know, they still do that.
Yeah, they
pretty do. Pretty much. I mean, it's pretty much every day at Venice Marina that there's somebody, there's a biologist there from wildlife fishers. Yeah. And he'll ask, you know, he said, hey, can I take a fish out there and age him? I said, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm
and that big flounder.
Anyway.
Yeah, that big flounder we caught 2 years ago now. I've never heard back from that. I've never seen the same guy again because I'm sure they go to all different brands, but I'd give anything to know how old that flounder was.
I think the average is about 5 years on them. Some go seven, but that's pushing.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you get past them 5 pound fish, them fish are old.
Yeah, they are.
Matter of fact, me and Darlene eat a 5 pounder, not 4 legs.
Ooh.
Yep. Had him in the freezer. I still got,
I tell you, y'all have had some unbelievable flounder fishing. Last few years,
was funny.
Man, y'all have been pouring the coals to them down there.
Him boys on Calcasieu, they come to my booth and hang out during the fishing show. He said, man, how'd y'all draw all our flounder away? I said, we didn't draw them away. Y'all killed all y'all's.
Yeah, they killed all theirs, Sabine and Calcasieu.
Yep.
I mean, Sabine used to be an unbelievable flounder lake, but it just got so much pressure.
Yep.
Especially after the state record was caught, and man, they just started flocking to there and learning how to
fish
for them.
Yeah, what is state record?
13.
Yeah, I thought it was
13.2,
right?
I think, on a flounder.
Yeah, that's a toad right there, bro.
That's a rug right there, buddy. That's not a doormat. That's a rug.
Nope. Exactly right.
Oh,
you know, and everybody talks about learning how to catch them. It's, if you can bass fish, trust me, you can catch flounder.
Exactly. You know, just slow down. Slow everything
down. Slow down. That's all you got to do.
That's
it. If you get it in his face, 9 times out of 10, he's going to eat it. I don't care what it is.
He's laying on the bottom, and if you tickle him with that tail and run across his back, he's going to come get you.
Yep, exactly right.
All right, buddy. Well, I got to run, Mike. Somebody wants to call you about coming over to Venison Fishing with you. Give them some info, my friend.
832-338-9376. Catch us on the web at RJ Hunting Fishing.
You got it, man. Hey, it's always a pleasure. You take care, Mike.
Same here.
See you, brother. All right. All right, it's time for a break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show. It's 519. Let's run down Galveston Way. Let's go to Tiki Island, check in with old James Plogg this morning. Captain Plogg, my man, what's up?
My brother, what's happening?
Oh, man, just hanging out here at the bait shop, waiting on a report.
Everybody's waiting on a report, man.
Looking for some networking, man.
All you got to do is
feed
hang
me
on that phone, buddy.
That's it.
Get some networking. Man, oh, man. It looked like it either got real foggy or it rained for a little bit sometime. I was getting some
light sprinkles coming in this morning. There was a little bit of real light stuff kind of move over us. So hopefully that's all the rain we're going to get.
It must rain a little bit. It ain't too bad right now.
Nah.
Oh, I messed up Friday. I was, I had my guy down for Friday, and I went to call him. I don't even know why I was going to call him. It was kind of early. and I went to my text, get his number, and he had March the 18th. I said, man, I got him on March 14th. But anyway, I messed up. Cost myself a day. He was right. One thing about them text messages, you can go back and look, and that way I don't get mad at nobody, but it was my fault. So I said, man, dude, I'm sorry. Just old and tired, I guess. So I didn't go yesterday, but you could have caught him yesterday morning. That wind got up pretty bad yesterday afternoon, but yesterday morning wasn't too bad.
No, it wasn't. It was down, and it didn't stay down long, buddy. It came on up. It was a get.
It did. I played golf at Wilderness, and, man, it was cranking, man.
I hadn't hit a golf ball since you and I had that storm with all them trees blowing down and all that stuff at Eagle Point that day.
Well, that was it. That was a bad storm.
Yeah, it was. I got home and had a tree laying down at my house.
Exactly. I remember Rhonda calling you and saying, man, trees are...
Need to come home and cut this tree up. I said, it's raining so hard I can't get to the truck. What do you want me to do?
Much less cut a tree down.
Well, it missed your barbecue pit by about 3 feet.
Yeah, that's good. At least it didn't crash your
barbecue. It wouldn't have crashed. That stainless pit, it wouldn't even have hurt it.
It wouldn't have hurt that. It'd have broke that tree, man.
That's a silver belly, the machine would have, it wouldn't even been phased.
So Thursday, I was going to go somewhere else because we caught all them little fish.
Right.
Man, I didn't want to go back and fish them, but man, the way the tide and the wind was.
You had to.
And we were super early. I said, well, let's go hit it. And then, I get a lot of 1 and 2 man guys fishing me this time of year. They come fishing, their buddies don't go, or half of them are dead. You know, their buddies used to fish them are dead. So they're still going. And, we get out, and Kenny's been going with me. So Kenny and my guy, they kind of went to the right side, and I walked back down here where I was yesterday. They're standing next to the boat. I mean, I don't know how they ain't hitting the boat on their back cast, and they're getting bites, and I don't get nothing. Man, they must all be on that end. Anyway, make a long story short, it same place, same deal. Now, I didn't catch as many fish. They did, but all our fish were better. Same everything. You know, we didn't catch no 19, 20-inch fish. Maybe some 18s. We might have caught some 19s, but they were just regular fish. I said, man, how about that? And I mean, I probably caught, the day before myself, I probably caught, I caught between 35 and 40 trout. I don't think I caught but about 12, but most of them were decent. So we left there, and I said, man, let's go hit this other place. And the tide was screaming out at that time, and the wind was southwest. It's been like south-southeast in the mornings, but it was straight southwest. Decided to kind of park a little bit different. A little old depression comes through there. Just it goes from like knee-deep, gets about, I don't know. You can't get across it when the tide's high, but when the tide's low, you go across it. It ain't that deep. Buddy, they was piled in there.
Man.
Went to work on them right there, and then they kind of faded. And then we moved down where we had finished up. But anyway, I think we caught, I think we caught 31 and not near as many little ones. So you riddle me that. It ain't like the pimples are gone. Because I wasn't even going to go there, but it was really good fishing. And Mike had picked his daughter up at the airport. So we left it. Man, I picked him up at like 10 minutes to 12. they were still catching some fish. It wasn't good like it was in the morning, but they were still pecking on them when I picked them up.
Right.
But, yeah. We caught, what I tell you, like 85 or 90 to catch 15, and we caught probably half of that. And we caught 31 nice trout. So, I don't know. They start out in the mornings on top waters. And then they fade. And then you just got to play with them. You go from a lily to a... I'll tell you what they got on the other day. When they kind of quit, you could just take a hot rod, just burn it back through there.
Yeah.
Just point your rod tip at it, just smoke it. And then won't hit nothing else really floating after that.
The old James Flog turn and burn technique.
Yeah, that was pretty easy. But now the other day, you'd miss two or three on top water, and you put like a 7M or anything that floats, get right underneath the surface. It couldn't go too far. They'd smash it. But I was doing that, and I'd watch them get all around it, and or you'd give up and reel in, and they'd bail on you right there when you're picking it out of water. They looked at it, but they didn't want it. But if you just kept it coming, just keep it coming, I guess just the reaction bite, they would hit it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know when they're biting, Mickey. It ain't really when we're fishing, because you get there in the morning in the dark, and then they start slicking you. They've been biting, so. And I don't know if it's right at dark or not. The conditions really hadn't been too good to fish right at dark. I mean, they know we're catching them. That really ain't when the bite is. You tell when they're already slicking, they ain't biting right then. Hey, I did see something pretty cool. So we're sitting there fishing, and I'm like, man, I'm looking at the boat, and it's like 6 miles back there. So I'll get that boat. And, hey, I watched the trout. I just happened to be looking right there, and he come up, his back come out of the water. Now, I don't know how many little minnows was there, little old minnows. But he'll probably sent you a picture of one of them. I don't know what they are. They're like maybe a half inch long. And I watched him come up and eat it, just like you'd slurp on the top water, just right in front of me. I said, look at that, man. I told my guys, I just watched a trout come up and eat a minnow that you ain't got nothing in your box you can throw that small. You know, it may be time to get them spoons out, Mickey, like we used to. Now, you can carry them this time of year.
We used to this time of year? Oh, man.
Yeah.
I think remember that old silver Sprite with a chartreuse tape with the red dots on it? I mean,
dude, it was killer.
In the spring on those. Good Lord.
Oh, my gosh. They don't even make them. You can't get them no more. I mean, I don't ever see them.
Go to a print shop and have them make you that tape that you just peel off and make it like a sticker and stick it on there. Just buy your silver spoons and do it.
Hey, by the time I get all that made, it's going to be like the middle of June. Man.
Yeah, it'll be topwater season. Man. Hey, there's always something, that, you know, different bite coming up.
Hey, you remember when we were buying, we'd buy them cards and then spoons. And then remember Josh Sprite come out with, I think it was a chartreuse, and they may have had an orange one that was like half silver, and then it was painted.
Yeah,
half
but after three trout, all that paint had peeled off.
All the paint fell off.
They're just trying to put like regular old, you know, Krylon on it, and it just eat right off.
Hey, two trout, it was gone. You used to like that bronze spoon. You used to throw that bronze one.
Hey, bronze, man. I don't know what else to say about it. And boy, in that real clear air, clear water, that bronze was just. I remember that time I took Joe Doggett and Bob Brister up to the North Ridge, that water was air clear up there, and it was real fresh, but it was clean and clear. That bronze spoon, I don't know how many giant flounder and trout we caught on that rig that day.
They come to running with that thing, wasn't it?
It was unreal. Quarter ounce.
I think a quarter ounce, that's what I like, quarter ounce.
Quarter ounce was always my favorite spoon.
I was waiting over there by Elm Grove one time. I don't know why y'all wasn't there. I was young. I just got rid of, I think I was in Guy Fish's Hydrosport. I ain't catching nothing. I'm looking in there, and then flounder start jumping out of the water. It was right about now, maybe a little later.
Right.
Dude, I rode through there with that chartreuse silver spoon, and I don't know how many flounders I caught. I know I caught 18. I might have caught more than that. I think the limit was 20 back then. I think I was trying to catch 20 or something.
Yeah.
But last year I had my spoons, and I had my days, and I'd have to get a bunch because nobody's got one. My guys are like, "Where you catching them on a spoon?" "Oh, we ain't got no spoons." I said, "No, you ain't got no spoons, but here I do. Here, give them one." Because nobody has them. But there's days when they'll hit that spoon when they won't touch nothing else.
Yeah. I had a guy one day beating me down with a spoon. I said, "Enjoy it while you can, because they're going to switch over here before long." And he said, "Man, spoons are great. I've been throwing them for 50 years. I said, "Spoons are out of style now. They went out with Bobby Socks and bubble gum back in the day."
Hey, they did, but hey, they'll still be that day.
They'll still catch fish.
Hey, this dude, I told you this story before. So last year, man, I had me a little old niche, and we're catching them, man. And it's pretty good. Ain't nobody really got me yet. Well, they ain't biting, man. We were in there that day, and we had caught a handful. And this guy fishing with me, he came with Sam, and he throws out there, and he barely put it in gear, and I watched the fish eat it. I said, "Hey, man, you got one." At the time, he's hooked up. He gets him. I throw over there nothing. "Hey, what are you throwing?" "Oh, that's a mirror dad." "Huh." Sure, like he's hitting on top of the water. He fires back out there. I see another one eat it. He may have made three cats. Boom, another one got it. I still ain't got nothing. I said, "A mirror dad?" I said, "What color is it?" "Oh, it's one, you know, whatever," he told me. It was like a greenback thing. "Hey, about his four fish." I said, "Dude, I'm seeing them eat it. It isn't a mirror dad. I'll walk over there." He said, "Ain't this a mirror dad?" I said,
"What
no,
was he throwing? Dude. He didn't even know what he was throwing?"
No, hell no. It was a Miro Mano.
Oh,
I have a bunch
of them long, skinny ones. I remember them.
Dude, he was fixing to absolutely destroy us. And
Catch 2000 would have worked then.
It would, Mickey. Well, I can't say that. I didn't have one with me.
So you couldn't find out. You got to carry one, James. Hey, we used to get out of a boat without a catch this time of year, man.
Well, it was later on, and I think I'd had so much stuff in my box, I cleaned it out. But anyway, this dude is fixing to destroy us. Me and Sam are just looking. Hey, he caught like five, and he's fishing with old Brady Lang. He wrapped that dude around the tip. The next time I saw it, he was on the North Shore line. I said, "Well,
that's over.
You're out of business. That's over with, buddy." He was so we fooled around there. We got him going just a little bit. So, man, I get home. You know, Eric sends me all that stuff, and I go to rummaging. I don't find but one. I got to go up here to Chris's. I buy four or five of them. I said, "I got this, and they ain't biting." Hell, they never touched that bait the rest of the year. I got out that morning, and I'm saying, "Man, I'm just destroying with this Miro Minnow." Dude, they didn't want nothing to do with it. Well, I mean, we ended up catching them on tails in there that day. But that particular day when they weren't biting, that's what happens in the spring. You know that. There'll be days where they'll get on something like that. And I guess it sinks so slow, Mickey. You don't, like a mirror dine, it hits the water, it goes down.
Yeah.
But I was seeing the fish eat it. That's why he kept telling me mirror dine. I'm like, "Man, I don't think this dude's got no mirror dine. That don't look right."
Now you got the LS Minnow, which is a popular floater diver. It's got a lip on it. Then you got the stick up, the walking darter. You know, they're long and skinny, kind of like a glass minnow.
Right.
And you got the LS Minnow, it's got a lip on it, but it floats and goes down. Floater swimmer, 2 foot max. And then another one called the stick up. It's a darter walker. I'm looking at my mirror lure catalog here.
You know what I think was the deal that day, Mickey? They're on them glass minnows. And I ain't your match the hatch. I can't stand when somebody tells me that.
I know.
But for some reason hey, that day.
I mean, whatever they're just going crazy on and there's such an abundance of, I want to throw some, give them a different look, you know?
Exactly. Why would you throw in there?
Maybe throw something the same size, but a different look, a different, you know, configuration or something, you know?
You're right about that. And I think that Menno thing, I think it was the size that day. They really didn't want to bite because they were slick. You know that deal, slick, don't want to bite. And that's why I kept staying there. But I think it was the size and the profile. And then I guess the next day I just hit them, you know, when they were biting. You know, it didn't matter. But the springtime is when you get into all that garbage like that. It is.
Springtime fishing, I mean, it's you know how it is. It's head-banging time. It just drives you crazy.
Springtime, I told my old neighbor over here, man, I was walking kind of slow to the driveways. Man, I was fishing. I said, it's okay. And then we got talking. So let me tell you something, man. I'll get tireder these next 2 months than I will the other 10 months of the year. So
that's right.
This fishing is hard. If you want to catch them, now, if you want to go and get sheephead and come in at noon and get whatever you get, that's fine. But if you want to go target trout and go try to catch them, it's hard this time of year. Like Charlie, he goes right back to his old 50 fish deal. He ain't cut a feather. So
there you go.
It happened. They move.
I'm telling
man.
You. It's what we do. Let me knock this break out. Coming right back.
Yeah,
at
go
you,
ahead.
Buddy. Hang on, man. All right. Well, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gaskets, you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and can't wait on those long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether it's 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied has you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. That's 281-332-6224. Morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it is 5:40 here in the Bayou City. All right, James, we're back, man.
Right, Joe. Man, you got some water this morning, man. I bet I could get 50 bites on top waters this morning.
Really?
I know I could. Yeah, it's not. It done got nice, man. It's almost slick, dude.
The calm before the blow, man. When that west wind kicks, it's supposed to really be getting it.
It makes me want to go, but I ain't going. Man, I was doing my taxes. I'm glad y'all called me.
Oh, boy.
I hate it. I'm on the last leg of it, though. Right now, I do it in stages because I hate it so bad. I mean, you're smart.
The way we do our taxes, you know, it's an all-day deal if you sit down and do every bit of it. I mean, it's
8 hours.
10, 12-hour ordeal. Good Lord have mercy.
But I split it up. I'm on, like, day three. I scattered it out. You know, the kids that are smart now, you enter all that on the computer, and they just punch a button and go to the tax office. But we're too stupid, so I do it like the old way. But I'm thinking to be through with that. But, you know, like I was thinking about right there where we're fishing. I mean, there's a million fish. I don't know how many hundreds I've caught this week, some in the hundreds. But, man, I think the biggest fish I caught there is like 3 pounds. What fish are there, that's the size of fish that's there, you know.
Yeah.
I got to go find somewhere that's got some bigger, you know, you catch some legit twos and threes, and you get you some fours and fives. I think I got to go a little bit further west. I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff would be in play this morning. It's the first morning I've seen water. I mean, we got some water this morning. It's going to get blown out again, but.
Yeah, that west wind hits. It's adios, amigos.
But you can set your watch when we get them fish, they bite. I mean, I thought they bite in the dark the other night, and we got there at whatever time. I think I put the anchor at like 6:02. Man, I hop out, and it's all good. Hell, I don't get nothing. About 6:30, I had a fish follow me up, just kind of ticking. So I finally had a bite, and I think we caught our first fish at like 6:57. And you can set your watch at 8:30. You might as well just load up and just move. that's the MO, man. I stayed right. longer trying to get them to go. They don't swim off. They ain't going nowhere. They live there. They quit biting. So we move, and you move somewhere else, and you can still catch them. But right there, I guess they're living there at night, and they feed at night, and then and when they're done, they're done.
Well,
I like catching.
You know, we were talking about mirror lures earlier. You know, a mirror lure's been building baits since 1937.
Yeah, Mr. LeMaster, I believe, is the guy that started that company.
That's crazy.
And they got a good
bait company.
They will. I hate to know how many. Hey, of all them pictures me and you were sending each other back the other night, how many of those fish were caught on mirror lures?
Huh? A bunch.
Hey, I know what I was going to ask you. Was that remember that nasty aluminum boat Blaine had for a couple of years, two or three years? We take it to the refuge all the time. Was that boat all them redfish were on the front of?
No, that wasn't an aluminum boat. That was that old Bayhawk. Remember? They gave
Blaine
me and Blaine a Bayhawk, and we shared it. It was, I called it the Bay Squawk, man. You'd get in a 10-mile-an-hour wind, you'd be squawking in that boat.
Oh, yeah. I remember y'all had one, but remember Blaine had that aluminum boat? And we.
I had an aluminum one, but I don't remember Blaine.
No, he had a flat-bottom one. Remember, it had a rail on the front. He didn't have, or maybe it was Tim Young's. It was somebody's. He only had it a couple of years. Remember that night we caught all them big fish and Blaine was walking back to get that stupid aluminum boat and he just threw his mirror lure out there and was dragging it over his shoulder and caught a 9-7?
Yeah.
Remember that aluminum boat? Hey, we had so many big fish, you were looking at them and you just kind of kicked that one to the side and said, man, y'all ought to weigh that one. He's pretty big. Hell, he was 9-7. We didn't think nothing about him.
That, boy, them nights are... Crawling in the back of the boat and everybody throwing those 100-pound stringers in the floor in the back. And it's just a big old pile of dead stuff. You know, we didn't think nothing about it, man. Now, if I could do something like that again, I'd live another 50 years.
You ain't kidding. Hey, man, me and you were talking about our stringers. That's kind of like was your badge. We all had custom stringers, and that was a big deal,
yeah,
man. I look at my
Keith Tanner stringers, man.
Yes, sir. I had two of them. One of them blew off in South Padre, and then I still have that one that I use. You know, I get out every morning, I just look at it. It's hanging on my leaning post on my rod over.
Well, I had two till a bull shark bit one of them in two, and I didn't even know it. He ate every fish on my stringer. I'd already strung 9, and I went to slide another fish on there, and he just kept going. I said, what in the world? And my stringer was bitten in half, and I was that big rope, one of them Pete Tanner jobs, man, big boy stuff. And I just tied a knot in it. The float came up way out there. I guess that shark had it in his mouth. It came up way out in about 8 feet of water off that shoreline. The float popped up. And
well, the stringers were short. You couldn't have but like 3 foot left. You couldn't have
much
left.
And I just tied a knot in it and strung 10 more and went to the dock.
Hey, remember?
Oh, Raz was with me that day. We were catching them on... I think we're catching them on 7Ms. We were smoking them on the North Ridge on 7Ms.
Oh, you remember, Blaine, you had that coated cable when we had that hook on the end of it?
Oh, man, just slide them right off.
Oh, man.
But
the
stringer shots look terrible on those stringers. You know, that's why we went
to
those ropes, because, man, you string them good, and they'd hang perfect for stringer shots and good photos.
The size of the fish we were catching then, that old cable stringer blinds, it hurts your hands trying to...
You couldn't lift it in. It did. Oh, it hurt so bad to pull one of them. You know, and those stringers back then, you know, we were stringing 10 and 20 fish in those days, and they weighed 50 to 100-pound stringers, man.
Man, that was crazy stuff, man. We were popping them pictures back and forth. I saw that one. That picture I sent you, I forget who I had that day, but man, them fish went to bite when that sun went down. But I know 2/3 of them pictures, all them fish were caught on mirror lures. Then that one you sent me with all them mosquitoes flying around is how bad them mosquitoes got that night.
Oh, man. I had a white hat on, and it was almost black from mosquitoes.
It was terrible.
That was at the refuge, man. That was nasty.
Them fish were big. Hey, me and Blake.
Yeah, they were big.
His old game warden truck one day, me and him drove over there. You didn't go. I don't know why. And it's muddy, and we're just sitting. You know, Blaine, he'd sit, take naps. We'd sit there forever, like, man, what are we doing? And we're looking out there, and Blaine said, man, that's slick right there. I said, man, that water's muddy. It ain't no good. Nah, let's get out. We got out, and you could see about 4 inches, and it was in the afternoon. Buddy, that tide started coming in, and we were using 801 their lures, and we went to absolutely destroying them. The back of that old Dodge truck. It wasn't his Chevrolet, the one that never would run, that gray one.
It was that was that old game warden gray Dodge.
Yeah. That's when he got stuck in down there where we were living in Crystal Beach.
Oh, man. Pop it. Yeah, let's jerk the bumper off of it. Tim's yelling, pop it, man, pop it.
He didn't care. Oh, man. We
didn't care. All right, man. Well, I got to run. I got to go check in on my boy Sharky, see how he's doing this morning. I'm sure he's loading them up, packing them up, getting ready to go get them sheepies and drum. And,
man,
they're catching everything. They're nuking them.
How'd you like to know your life was a sheephead? This fishing get daylight, and you were fixing to get absolutely destroyed.
Hey, all that money spends the same, brother.
Yes, so I'd hate to be a sheep, though, man. That's a bad.
Oh, hey, it's not a good time of year to be a drummer sheephead. I can promise you that.
You ain't happy. All right, buddy.
Throw them out a number.
All right, 409-771-7306.
And you'll get back to them in a day or two, no problem. Three text. What was that post? Three text or phone call? I'm just three text or four phone missed phone calls away.
I knew you loved that.
Oh, I cracked up. All right, buddy.
All right, dude.
See you, man.
See ya.
All right. Let's jump the bridge. Let's run over there off of Offutt's Bow and check in with old Sharky this morning. Hey, Michael, what's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Oh, nothing. What are you doing?
Oh, brother, just putting crabs on boats and getting the line ready to get ripped back out, buddy.
That's it. Winching on them.
We're fixing to get out there and do some winching, my friend. It's going to be a good time, brother. We are rock and rolling. Looks like
videos, man. That's them kids, them spring breakers are having a blast, man.
Man, oh, man, that's what it's all about, man. Making memories with these guys, and golly, it's just man, we're blessed to be able to get to do what we love, man. There's just no question.
What are those crab going on the boat for this morning? The big uglies or redfish?
Yeah, big uglies, redfish. But I'll tell you, it's springtime because we started catching some bonnet heads on them and smooth dogfish. It's a type of we talked about that. So
smooth tooth dogfish or whatever, man.
The guys caught one yesterday too, so
awesome.
I don't know, man. I've never even seen those things, and now we're catching two like that. I don't know. But
any
anyway,
other sharks, getting any other species, black tips,
no,
or
we,
sandbars
we ain't been
or anything?
Messing. We got a last week we fished for an hour and got that one black tip, which was awesome, super early for March, and then we got those 2 6-foot sandbar sharks. It was kind of like a triple up in like less than 10 minutes, but we sat out there for a little over an hour with no bites, you know. So it wasn't like they were.
Well, let me know when the bulls start coming in, and I'll start getting ready for them. Yeah. Up my way. They come straight to me, man.
There you go. You let me know when you start catching them.
Well, they got to come
way,
to
I
you first.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true.
That's it, man. Just give me a warning. They'll be up my way in about 12 hours, one tide change.
I'll let you know, brother. Yeah, man, it's going to be good, Mickey. It's going to be good. We got a little bit of a wind line forming and going to roll through around 9 o'clock this morning. It looks like it's going to be a fast one. It's going to blow through quick, so we're just game planning and strategizing how to best prepare for that and come back in and be close to our dock or close to a little bit of some protected shelter or whatever if it does get a little nasty on us. But it should blow through quick, man. We should have a good rest of the afternoon, so I think we'll be fine for the first 3 hours here this morning.
You got your plan for a west wind.
Yeah. It's coming.
Yeah,
it's coming, it is. Buddy. And it's a pretty solid little line there. As you click on those, you know, hour, 2 hour, 3 hour forecasts, you can see it. It's mm-hmm. just a good little line. So,
wish for the best for you.
Yeah, man. Hopefully it blows right through, and we'll be back to it this afternoon. So, I got some kiddos on the boat, some spring breakers this morning. We're going to go and talk to those guys and hopefully go out and do some heavy tackle and catch some big fish. And then we'll come in for 30 minutes, 40 minutes, let that thing blow through and get right back out and finish it off in the bay. Maybe around Offutt's or something. And then this afternoon it's back to game on. So with my group number two, so.
Well, you got areas down there. You can hide on a west wind, get out of it.
Oh yeah. I don't think it'll be super crazy, but you know, we stay prepared like it will be, so that's good.
But prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
That's right, man. It's been a
heard that.
Shoot. Every time I'm fixing to go offshore, I tell myself that.
Oh man.
You know? You just never know, buddy. Hey, I got Fernando coming out with his family on Monday.
Oh, well, that's cool. Oh, Fernando.
Heck yeah, that's cool. I'm
so
excited.
Love that guy, man. They don't come any better than him, brother.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you.
How good a care is he taking care of us over the years?
That's it.
But it's pretty easy to take care of guys that are running Honda outboard. There's not much to go wrong.
Yeah, there's not much caretaking, but
the only work they've ever done is other stuff on my boat that needed done, you know, like wiring problems and things like that.
Yeah. That's what I tell people, man. It's like, man, I mean, you know, if those Hondas are so reliable, why are you working on the boat all the time? Well, it's everything but the Hondas.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the steering this or throttle cable or something crazy,
steering,
but it ain't ever
cables,
the motors.
Batteries, you know, wiring, arcos, trolling motors. I mean, yeah.
That's right. If everything was as reliable as those outboards, buddy, well,
Fernando,
our lives would
never
be a
see
lot
us.
Different.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
You'd never see
that's
him.
Right.
Oh, well.
That's
well, Sharky,
right,
I know you're busy and you got to get
no
guys
problem,
going
brother.
There, brother, and throw them out some info. Somebody wants to come down and hook up.
Come on, man. Let's go make some memories. It's a great time of year to get out on the water with us. We'd love to have you guys. Hop on Google, type in Outcast Charters Galveston. It'll pop right out. Or you can check out our website, Outcast Fishing with no G. charters.com. You can check out our trip packages, pricing, availability right there on our website, man. Come lodge with us. We sleep up to 18 people upstairs. Love to have you guys. And God bless everybody. Be safe this weekend. If you're getting out on the water, be safe and go catch them up.
Thanks, Sharky. Be
all
cool,
buddy.
Brother. Do your thing, man.
Later.
Bye. All right. Well, folks, are you looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure? Welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch. It's a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. Whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator hunts, Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay Fishing Charter. So bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything from five-star lodging, skeet shooting, sporting clays, to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget. And if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other big events, Rusty Hook Ranch can sleep large groups of up to 40 and host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best of Texas at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com. And tell them Captain Mickey sent you.